The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. Sean and Lance along with Dell right here for the next 2.5 hours on ESPN 97.5. And Raheel joins us at 9 o'clock. And Lance, what? Dell, what? Dell looks over, points. What? Mic wasn't on.
Yes, it was.
What happened?
After we turned the mics on and started talking, you went...
I did?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was just doing my Josh Adams impression.
For those of you who don't know who Josh Adams is, he's the running back for Notre Dame who apparently cannot step to the side ever.
Josh is a little tightly bundled in the hips, as we would say.
And just as...
Can't get going. You know what I've noticed?
Straight ahead runner.
He's very straight ahead. This is actually, I thought I was going to see a really good player yesterday when I studied and wrote him up, and I didn't. I was super excited, and then I was super sad. You know what I have noticed? Our buddy Dell, he watches football on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he watched him against Miami, and he's...
Well, yeah, that's maybe.
I watched him, and also Notre Dame has a national contract, I see him all the time.
Yeah, we saw plenty of Josh Adams.
He's slow to get started, and there's no wiggle.
No. He's very slow to get started, and there's no wiggle.
No.
He's right. He could be a scout.
No, he could be a scout.
Yeah, but why would I want to be here till like 7 o'clock and have random interns talking to me? Like
right.
I don't want that in my life.
I don't want any of that in my life.
I get that enough from 7 to 1.
You get Panthers gear.
Why would you want Trey coming into your office and saying,
hey, hi, Lance. What's going on today,
Are you
Lance?
Doing work or playing video games?
Hey, Lance.
I do find out how many interns. We lead the league in interns.
There's no question.
It's not at 790. iHeart got sued by interns, not locally, but on the national level, because they said, "You're making us do too much work and not paying us. We're suing." Mm.
Interns are supposed to get paid. I don't know if you know that. My wife she can't get any interns that aren't paid.
I think that's why.
That's a national thing, though.
Because it's a national company,
Disney, and we're a little local company.
Well, wait a minute now. How come interns? I thought intern was you don't get.
Apparently not anymore.
In the NFL,
it's 2018. Lance.
Did you hear about
interns? Intern doesn't mean intern anymore.
The Texans interns get paid, but then again, I think they work more than ours do, but they're there all day.
Yeah.
They pay their interns.
Was it Josh McDaniels?
No, if you're a suable company, then you have to pay your interns. That's how it works.
Oh, if you're a suable company, you'll get sued by somebody.
Yeah.
I got too much work. I had too much work for free.
That's like people who, and I'm sure this has happened to you millions of times over the last 20, 30 years, whatever. How do you get into this? How did you get into your... Well, it starts with I worked for free for 2 years doing a weekend show and, answering phones, blah, blah, blah. What do I do? Like, how can I get a... I can't afford to be for free. I said, I couldn't either.
No.
I worked a different job. I was waiting tables and whatnot. Like, how do you get a different job where you get paid have a show? I'm like, well, it doesn't exist.
Right.
It's called podcast.
Right.
You can get podcast. But how do I get paid for my podcast? Like... I don't know. Go get advertisers. Do you know anyone?
No. I didn't. I never interned. I did work for I had a baby, and I was working for $3.25 an hour.
But that works too.
And my wife at the time wasn't working either. So that was an interesting
time. Wow.
That's where I
How
built
many hours
up a,
were you working?
A lot of
90 to 100 a week.
That's where the IRS liked to chase me down, and when the student loan company said,
"Yeah, you're never paying student loans on $3.25 and with a kid, and a wife who doesn't work."
Yeah, that was an interesting.
That's challenging.
In Flagstaff, Arizona, which is just like an armpit. Ew. It's all it is.
I got the blues. This segment just thinking about all
got
this.
Depressed.
So, so that's how you get started. You'd make no money. You get deeply into debt. That's how you get started.
Well,
everybody.
How do you get like a morning show?
Don't be a crybaby. First of all, don't be a crybaby about being an intern. That's the first one.
Right.
But we got a bunch of interns and they actually do work. our interns actually, I see them, you know, they take turns and a lot of it's on podcasting and whatever, but I do see them out there working all the time. And I,
no, they do.
There were two new ones out there. Say, hey, how you doing? This guy got up and introduced himself. How you doing? Good.
Andrew's a hard little worker. Trey's a hard little worker out there.
Yeah, Trey is. Andrew, I don't know if he's a, I feel like he's gone. Trey, the NASCAR savant, has gone from intern. I think he just shows up. Like, is he officially considered an intern?
He's scheduled occasionally, but I feel like he's here more than that. And he also gets paid to run games on the weekends and stuff.
So by the way, he's not, he doesn't live right around the corner. He's in Baytown.
Yeah.
Is he so really?
It's not, yeah, it's not a short trip.
Well, if you're a NASCAR aficionado, you live in Baytown pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, it helps.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, I saw him up here like on a Sunday. Like, what are you doing here, Jay?
I just sat up here just checking things out.
I'm like, okay.
Just to see.
Nothing else. I mean, that's it.
Well.
Yep.
I mean, otherwise it's home with her dad. You ever hear him do his dad impression?
Yeah.
Hey, son. What? I can't imagine his dad sounds like that, but that's another thing.
That's his
How about, good Lord, 41 last night.
That's right.
Chris Paul, 24.
It was the same thing from the night before.
Without Trevor Ariza, without the king of plus minus, without Eric Gordon, this, you know, and back to back, and just, you would think that their legs, they came out smoking. Miami comes back and catches them after a 17-point lead, and then at the end they pulled away. You know, it was close, and then they pulled away at the end. And you would think it would be just the opposite, that they would, you know, it's basically a 7-man rotation right now, and yet, boy, James, I'll tell you, I've always had a problem. He's been hard for me to root for because he's not all that likable to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. He's just not that likable.
Well, I mean, if you're the son of a Rockets Hall of Famer legend, he's probably not that likable.
Well, I know he doesn't like him, but there's a reason for that.
I know.
He never beat me up or told people to beat me up.
Yeah, so what's your problem?
You never got beat up by him? I mean,
you never allegedly got beat up by somebody James wanted to beat you up, allegedly.
You know, the whole side look, and I hear stories about him behind the scenes and all this stuff. And you know, I don't know, the brand of basketball before, but I'm telling you, they're much more fun to watch. You know, he is, even him standing out there and dribbling between his legs and doing all this James stuff is, it's still, it's really growing on me. And, you know, I'm really starting to think that this team actually does have a chance. I don't know why.
They do, because they're playing
But if you look at the postseason, you can't say that.
If you hit, but you have to hit reset. I mean, I know it's hard to do, but you have to hit reset and give them, like, if you look at it historically, I could show you plenty of examples of guys who couldn't get there, who had failings, and then at some point turned a corner. Right now,
yeah, Michael Jordan did that.
Yeah, yeah, but Jordan didn't have these kind of failings in the postseason. But, it was different.
Well, I looked at James' numbers last night. As a matter of fact, he's just like a point and a half off on scoring, rebound. I mean, he's real close to his regular season averages. In his career,
it is. But his shooting is like his efficiency is way down, and he doesn't rise to certain occasions.
That's it.
And in certain moments, now
he rises in some games, but not in elimination.
Why the stats won't tell you everything on James. It's just, you know, in the fourth, when you really, really need him, if it says James scored 28 points, it looks great. But if he was 1 of 6 in the fourth quarter, well, that doesn't show up in the box score. You got to, you know, you have to remember, like, I remember the games and how I felt after the game.
I see with my human eyes. He's not good a lot of times.
But James is a great player. He is a superstar, a great scorer. He's a very high impact on the game, has now for 3 of the last 4 years. And his numbers were great when they were 41-41. He just had no impact on winning that year. Not in my estimation, at least. Not relative to it. You can give me whatever sabermetric number you want to, but the fact was, it really was irrelevant on the court. This is unbelievable. And now, you have to ask yourself, James's failings have come when everything's on his shoulders. He will struggle in the postseason at times. Well, now he's got another castmate who can handle pressure, who can handle leadership, who can handle a lot of the things that I think James can be a little, you know, hit or miss on. You add to that, Clint Capela naturally is getting better because that's his arc of progression for his prime. You know, he's entering into his prime right now. And you know what? You know what's really impressive to me? I always wanted Capela to be more of a block shot guy. And he wasn't as much early in his career. He's long and gangling. You think this should be a guy who's swatting shots left and right. I don't know how many he got last night. His last couple have been 5 and 4. But he's finally starting to block a lot of shots. He's becoming a much better rim protector. And now you got a longer guy in Bamute. You've got Ariza when he's healthy who can hit threes and do that, but you're not relying as much on him. I mean, it's Daryl has put together a really – the puzzles fit really nicely. For the first time, like Brewer always bothered me. He just didn't fit on a three-point shooting team. What was his – I get that he's active, but he just – oh, him, Josh Smith. Josh Smith drove me bananas. I don't know about you. But you never knew what you're going to get from Jay Smoove. You never knew what you're going to get from him, from game to game.
No, this is the best iteration of the Rockets since
and Capela 3 blocks yesterday. Too.
Since Charles Barkley left.
PJ Tucker +16.
Is he your new plus minus guy?
Well, he moved into Ryan Anderson's spot. That's why.
41 minutes, dude.
Watching that team play just last night, it's they'll go fast to slow it down. Like they'll rush up the court to get the matchup they want. You know how often you watch them and they rush up the court just so they can get their primary ball handler on the big man cross matches.
Yeah, and I don't feel like they're playing. I don't feel from a tempo standpoint, they're not playing fast break. You know what they were doing 2 years ago? They played a lot of fast break basketball. Right now, their pace, you're right, they will get early action, and then then they pull out.
Not if Gerald Green touches it early.
Well, Gerald ball's going up.
If he gets his hands on it.
That's called early offense.
Yeah. But when Gerald Green's not on the floor or they're not looking for him, Chris Paul or Harden will run up the court and they will find a way to get your big man on them. And then we're just standing out there having some fun. And because they're two great one-on-one players, it turns into layups or threes. And I can't imagine if you're a defensive coach, how you drill into your team, make sure there's not a big man on them because it's over. Because you watch Chris Paul, he'll dribble into the paint and then, Hassan Whiteside's on me, or Bam Adebayo. I'm just going to pull out to the three-point line and go to work.
Well, and there was one
every
play,
single time.
One play Bull highlighted last night where James has got the ball out top, and the defense collapsed, and Gerald Green is standing in the corner. It was a pick and roll, and he came off the pick and roll, and I forget who came off of Gerald Green in the corner, and James found... James is different this year. He's not throwing it in the third row in nearly as much. He's making a lot more smart basketball. And they keep talking about James' basketball IQ. And in the past, though, while he would make these spectacular plays and see guys and you get easy baskets because James created easy baskets, he also created some of the most unbelievable. James, what are you thinking about?
His vision is fantastic.
Sometimes his vision all the way to the second or third row.
I don't think his vision is that. I just think when he gets lax with the ball. I think it's simply about taking a little bit better care of the ball. And all it is for James. Now, James is still averaging 4.3 turnovers a game. And he's not always the primary. Like, that's higher than I thought, to be honest with you, at 4.3. That's a lot higher. But that's what he's going to do. And, you know, it's really all about don't – now, he's getting by with it a lot more. Some of these passes he's made lately have been incredible. He had a pass – God, what game was that? San Antonio, where he threw a pass, a left-handed pass, like a hook pass down from just inside the half court. It was a bounce pass with some English on it all the way into the paint that went to – I want to say it was Capela, it was maybe Nene. And I was just like, and they scored, and then Pop called timeout, and they went to break. And I just thought, that's one of the best passes I've ever seen. That's like Magic Johnson in an All-Star game pass. That's unbelievable that James threw this pass. He had a behind-the-back pocket pass to Clint Capela the other day in the paint. It was like some of these are now getting through instead of turning into turnovers. The James that drives us crazy is when he's so nonchalant with the ball, and it turns into dumb turnovers. Mm-hmm. But... I'm okay with his turnover count being higher if his assist count is high. It's all for me about turnover to assist and lower turnover counts in the fourth quarter and just getting better possessions. Still the same thing that I want to see with James, and this is really nitpicking at this point because he's tremendous, is you want to see James continue to play the same ball in the last 2 minutes that he's played in the first 46. Yeah. That's the one big concern because I don't like when he's yo-yoing out top because we all know it's going to be a step back three. We know what it's going to be.
Yeah. No. And that's...
And I'm thinking Chris Paul will solve some of that, right? Like, hey,
Not really, because you still see it. Stop ball stoppage in the last 2 minutes. It's me, ISO, playing Steven Coutinho ball again. And you're right. If you could possibly bottle up that the first 46 minutes and have him play the same way.
But James's fourth quarter was ridiculous.
It was. All right. Speaking of those Rockets,
let's talk about the Rockets. As a matter of fact, you can get playoff packages. I mean, I don't want to jinx this thing, but I got a pretty good feeling. About that. And, of course, you can look into playoff tickets at Rockets.com. But I want to tell you about the stretch run packages they have. They have two different ones. They got the three-point package, which is a rematch against the Spurs. You got the Pistons, Hawks, Suns, and Blazers coming in, Damian Lillard. And I think I'm going to get that one for the kids so they can see the Spurs. Who knows who Pop will play at that particular time. And then they love watching Damian Lillard. And then the slam dunk package, frankly, this is pretty strong here. You got Clippers, but you also got Pelicans, Bulls, Wizards, and the Oklahoma City Thunder with a red-hot team. Now, Russ and Paul George, and we'll see what's going on with Melo. So why don't you give him a call at 713-627-DUNK and ask about the three-point package or the slam dunk package. You've got a five-game stretch run package now available for as low as $132. Take advantage of these great prices and go see a block of games. And if you like what you see, jump in on the playoffs too. 713-627-DUNK or go to Rockets.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What the? Dal brought in a book for us to read today. That's nice.
I didn't bring it in. They're just hanging out by where the interns chill. It's a new book.
Mm. It's Love and Laughter. And for some reason, she's sticking her...
Can you read chapter 20? Can you read some of chapter 20? The language in chapter 20.
Does she kiss you with that mouth?
Not me.
All right. That's Beth.
That's Beth, Love and Laughter.
Love and Laughter, the Deldo Bear Backing Show.
No, I'm not on that show anymore. It's every Saturday night at 10.
Yeah. That's cool. Anyway, she's got a book out, and it's called Love and Laughter?
Yes, she named the book after the show.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently people do stuff.
Apparently you have to respect some certain part of the anatomy, on a man's anatomy. That's chapter 7.
20.
20? Okay.
We got to wait a little while for that.
Anyway, did you meet Jose Altuve yesterday?
You really got to read this.
No, I'm not reading that.
I'm going to hold it here. You got to read that.
I met him for a quick second. He was signing autographs out at Gulf Coast, Craig Surf's place.
So here's what we found out later. Like, hey, why weren't you guys, like an hour into the show, like, why didn't we have copy points to promote this in advance? Like, yeah, this is just supposed to be for like the owners and the people who work here. Wasn't really an autograph session per se. Like John and I are talking about, people started showing up with giant posters of Jose Altuve next to Aaron George. Like, hey guys, you just had this printed.
Yeah.
There's people there who, the autograph hounds, who go get signed and they don't keep it.
How many people ended up being there, Del? A bunch? A lot? 45 minutes. Well, he wasn't going to go. Again, he was just going there to, you know, just hang out. It inspired me because we were talking about it yesterday. You know, you brought up, okay, J.J. Watt and El Campo, Jose Altuve.
By the way, El Campo is a long way away now.
Yeah. So was okay. It? Well, not, it's
well
not
Angleton. The, Angleton's not right around the corner.
No, it's not. It's know, about it's like 30 miles, but yeah. It's right down 288. It's easy
yeah,
to get
yeah.
to.
Well, that's why I handicapped it. JJ's a lot harder to get to.
Yeah, but all the people in the El Campo area would
yeah,
go.
Yeah, they're all going to yeah. be there, yeah.
Because they don't get JJ Watt out there. And then James Harden. I was thinking to myself.
And I said James Harden was in Pearland.
Yeah. So I was thinking to myself, you know, that's some star power. And then I was thinking, does any other city have the kind of star power right now that that Houston does?
Really doesn't. Really, did you think of
that's
anyone?
That's my article.
It is?
Yeah. I ranked the cities on
wow.
star power.
That's a good article.
I got...
That's an article that could be national. We should promote SportsMap.
SportsMap. It's on SportsMap right now.
What did you say about Dell? Did you take your shot at Dell this week?
I didn't. Am I don't I still, take a shot at Dell.
Am I still running space in your head?
No, that's the other way. I think it's the other way around.
No, you anyway, wrote about me. I didn't write about you.
Anyway... yeah, I thought at one two things I wrote about. One was this is the best time ever to be a sports fan in Houston. I talked about mid-90s. Now, mid-90s was pretty good. Bagwell MVP, those teams just started to get good. It was
Killer
the precursor
Bees.
to the 97.
Well, young Bagwell Biggio, yeah, young stars. Bagwell, yeah.
And the championships for the Rockets and the 92-93 Oilers were a couple of the best teams in the NFL.
Yeah, problem was they were already out of the city by like 95.
Well, that's I did write that yeah. that they would leave not too long
the
after. However,
yeah.
However, that 93-94 with Bagwell and 94 MVP with 93-94 Rockets winning the championship and 93 the Oilers were the best team in the NFL until they lost to Kansas City. That was a pretty damn good time.
It just didn't quite cross over, and here's why. Work stoppage in baseball is a huge downer.
Yeah, right.
That was a huge downer, which kind of Bagwell got hit on the hand and knocked out. Like
that's why he won the MVP.
Yeah, it was an incomplete in baseball, and then the football was 92-93. The basketball was 93-94, because I remember when the Rockets are in their run, like, oh, my gosh, the Oilers are like, Bucky Richardson's in a quarterback.
Well, the football was 93. The 93 yeah. team won 11 straight.
93, yeah, 93.
93 straight, and then yeah. they won 11 straight and then lost to Kansas to Joe Montana in the divisional round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
93, 94 spring into summer.
Right.
Yeah, was when the Rockets won the championship.
And then Rockets won the championship
in
93.
And Moon had been traded, and they were dismantling the Oilers at that time.
Yes, yeah, right.
Yeah, they were but,
and then the other time was 86 with the Astros, the Rockets, and then 87 started the run of Warren Moon, a 7 straight playoff appearances. So that was a pretty good time,
too. They haven't had three. And we didn't even mention, by the way, Deshaun Watson, Jadeveon Clowney. Like, from a star power standpoint, it is never, it's not
well,
even remotely
here's what, here's,
close
here's
to
the star power that I had. Jadeveon is close, but not yet there.
That's
what I put. Five is Boston, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski. I put Dustin Pedroia in there and Kyrie Irving. You know, because Pedroia has been around a long time. His dirty helmet.
Is there not a bigger Red Sox?
No.
Is Chris Sale a big deal? He's a great player. But
most people couldn't pick Chris Sale out of a lineup. Mookie Betts. Number four, I've got Oakland. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Marshawn Lynch.
What number are they?
They're four. Three is Los Angeles, Clayton Kershaw, Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, Lonzo Ball, Todd Gurley, and Phillip Rivers. I'm not sure about Gurley.
I might even leave Rivers out.
And Rivers is a star. He's a sports star,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, but he's like falling off. Look at what Houston
No, but he's still a sports star. He's somebody that everybody knows.
But here's the problem, and this is why Houston's so far ahead. He was a San Diego guy. Like, L.A.'s just like, oh,
yeah, but they have him
guy.
Now is what I'm
they
saying.
Have now
right,
at
right,
the
right.
end.
I got New York second, Eli, Odell, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Kristaps Porzingis, and Matt Harvey. If you look at Matt Harvey's collection now.
Nah, yeah, but Matt Harvey's done this too.
Well, no, he's not a good but he's a star because one of the things is the common people you have to cross over into pop culture. Matt Harvey, you should see I posted the women that Matt Harvey has dated.
Okay. Now that's see I feel like this is a different deal. Like,
no. But to be a star, you have to cross over. And otherwise, you're not. If the average casual fan doesn't know you, and pop culture really doesn't know you. You're not really a star.
I don't think pop culture knows Matt Harvey that well. Pop culture knows Aaron Judge. See, here's the deal. If you say the average person, I think the average sports fan who may or may not cover us or follow a sport closely, I don't think they know Matt Harvey. They know James Harden.
Well,
the beard helps.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
They know JJ. They wouldn't know Clowney. The average kind of sports fan might not know Clowney. They would know JJ.
Well, here's my Houston. And I said Houston, and it's not even close. James Harden, Chris Paul, JJ Watt, Deshaun Watson, Jose Altuve, Justin Verlander, and Carlos Correa. Correa is borderline.
You haven't even talked about the MVP and the cover boy of Sports Illustrated, who's one of the most ebullient personalities in baseball today, in George Springer. You didn't even mention Springer.
I got close, but not quite there. DeAndre Hopkins, J.D. Clowney, and George Springer.
Our closest are better than most of the cities you mentioned.
Yes.
Lynch, end of his career. Phillip Rivers, end of his career. Like, these guys are still ballers.
Yeah.
These guys, DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best receivers in the game.
Yes.
He's just not as well known.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I don't think George Springer is either. And, you know, this was, and now the World Series MVP with all the eyes watching, how many people saw that? You know, George Springer is probably pretty damn well known. Carlos Correa, getting engaged on the field after the game was a national story that brought. He was on Good Morning America. He was on all the newscasts afterwards. I think Springer was right there, but just not there. But I did say this about it. With all of our star power, the Rockets are going to be front and center in this postseason.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get prime spots as opposed to the late game, I would think, more often than not. I would think they're going to get 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock start times.
Right.
The Texans with Deshaun Watson, it'll be very interesting to see if they get Sunday night or not. Because if they didn't have Deshaun Watson, they would get zero Sunday. They would get their obligatory Thursday night game, maybe a Monday nighter. It'll be interesting to see how many primetime slots this year. When the schedule comes out, we'll know how big a star Deshaun Watson is, because he will move the needle. And then the Astros are going to be front and center on ESPN, on Sunday Night Baseball, on when they play the Yankees and the Red Sox. It's going to be the headline that night on ESPN.
There's a lot more I want to get into with this. This is a good topic because it gets into fandom. You know, your fandom, Houston fandom, is at a potentially all-time high as a city, not just one team or whatever. As a city. And that's what fan bases clamor for. That's what Boston has had for so long. And that's what New York has had at different times in L.A. And we will get to some of that here. And if you guys have thoughts on that, whether you want to add to John's list, subtract from John's list, or whatever, 713. Is that out already?
It's out.
Okay. Go to sportsmap.com and find John's article.
I'm going to tweet it right now.
John's tweeting it out. 713-780-3776. We'll get you guys in. You know, we have the shortest wait time in the game. 713-780.
That's terrible.
No, it's not terrible. It's true.
713-780-3.
It's true.
Raheel and Dell, when I was in here, you should have saw, they're like, pick it up. Pick it up, Harrison. Pick it up. They were like screaming.
No,
for
we didn't
to
do that. We just didn't want you ruining the show. Partly because you were dragging a chair across the floor during the middle of a break. And we got hardwood floors now, so everyone can hear everything. Lance doesn't have
rollers.
Any respect. No respect.
Rollers. There's rollers on
it. As Raheel said, hey, buddy, this ain't 15-6 anymore.
And when I know. And then whenever somebody called in, I'd try to delay. I had to give long answers, trying to keep them from going to the. Trying to extend their wait times.
7:30 ESPN.
Oh, and by the way, Twitter's turned into a-hole a little early for me on the draft front. It's like, yesterday I considered, should I just get a private Twitter account? Yesterday, for the first time, I was like, oh my God. There's too many people who know where to find me now on draft stuff. And they're not people who follow me. That's the worst. When people start coming after you, don't follow you, that just means it's either troll game
or they're just being a-hole.
A lot of mute button going
on. All right. Well, we can talk about that on the other side. Right now, though, we got to talk about being a champion, and that's what you are when you're with Champion Energy. You are saving money every single month. I need you to please go to 1560energy.com and stop paying more than you are right now. You will love 1560 Energy because it's just going to be less. There's no better. I don't know why. Well, I'm loyal to my electricity. Really? You're loyal to your electricity company. Okay. Well, I don't really want to bother with all that. Really changing it over will be a big hassle. Yeah, it'll take you about 5 minutes. So, yeah, to save I don't know how much money I've saved over the last 6-7 years. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And you can too. All you have to do is make like the smallest effort possible and go to 1560energy.com, 281-653-5090, promo code 1560.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lance, can you identify the theme song? This song? It's a remix of something, but can you identify what this is?
Yeah, it's easy. Stranger Things.
That's right. The Stranger Things remix.
Did you like season two as much as season one?
Season one and two blow.
You didn't even fit. You didn't like season one.
This is the dumbest show ever.
Stop it,
John. The acting is terrible.
Do you think those kids? Are you hating on the kids?
The kids are terrible.
Or Winona Ryder?
No, he's hating on the kids. All of them. They're all bad. It's terrible.
How many episodes did you see? How many episodes?
Oh my God! I saw like 5 or 6 episodes. It was terrible.
Seven is where it gets good.
You dropped short.
You pulled up short.
I pulled up short.
You stopped short. You stop short. No, I like season two is okay.
It's the dumbest show ever.
I like season one a lot better. Season two is a little like, I'm not even sure I want to see a season three.
I do, because I want to see those kids in their awkward stage.
Yeah, because it's already getting there.
They've already started a romance aspect of it. I want to see these kids that are like 14 and they look weird. Because they're not little kids anymore.
I don't want to see you get, kids. My kids are out of school.
I don't want them.
Boy, I almost said something that really.
I don't want them to do weird stuff. I just want to see the awkwardness of them being older.
Yeah, I liked it better when 11 was
not a
head was buzzed and she was not, like.
Now she's a glamour icon.
Where's Mama?
Mama.
Oh,
Mama.
I don't know about this. And who's this other? Who are the other people here?
The new kids. You got that sadistic brother that's now part of the, not part of the crew, but he's now part of the cast.
I feel like this is going to turn into a Marvel comic. And some of the upside down stuff didn't make as much sense to me in season two. Stop. And then Paul Reiser's in it. And I'm like, how do I feel about Paul Reiser being in this? I don't even know how I feel
about it.
Where's
Helen Hunt?
Yeah. That's...
By the way, so you're going to know this. So what's the sheriff's name who got all jacked up for a Marvel comic?
He's going to be a Hellboy.
Yeah, Hellboy.
His real name is David Harbour. I forgot what his his character's name is.
So you know he's not British, right?
No, he's not.
I just have to check.
No, he's an American.
People are randomly British. You never notice that in Hollywood? Just like, whoa. I didn't know that person was British. Like, I'm just, hi, my name's David.
Did you know Millie Bobby Brown is 11's British?
Yeah, I've heard her on interviews. That's what I'm saying. Random British people who are actors. Like,
did you see Lindsay Lohan
British.
With her British accent?
No,
she did. And as a matter of fact, she went after Kim Kardashian, and Kim and all the Kardashians shot back. Oh, really? Fake British accent, girl? You're going to talk about somebody else?
I didn't even know she was still alive.
Yeah, ooh, Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah. She's actually probably outlasted what we thought.
Yeah.
She's
like Mike Tyson of...
What is wrong with people? She likes to party, Ian.
Well, but she's like Mike Tyson. Remember how we all said, Mike Tyson make it to 40? Remember we all assumed Mike Tyson would be dead?
Yeah.
That was just kind of an assumption.
Well,
Robert Downey Jr. at one point, this guy's not going to last to age 35.
Took him to death pool.
Everyone kept, we kept thinking, and Lindsay Lohan was definitely in that crew.
I thought
she survived, but her face didn't so much.
Well, that's what happens. Yeah. That's what happens.
The rest of her survived, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to see Stranger Things, too. But that guy, David Harbour, the doughy sheriff... He started doing heels, you know, rope pulls and all that stuff, chain throws, and he got all jacked up for this role as Hellboy. I would probably work out hard like that if I knew.
Yeah,
you're gonna make millions of bucks.
Yeah, I'd probably like
in a franchise. Yeah,
I'd
do it too.
I guess I'll go.
Yeah, don't
do the chain pull or the.
Would you rather get bowed up like that or
now you
gain
can't
a,
eat either you
gain
can't.
A bunch like De Niro did for Raging Bull?
That sounds more fun.
That's a lot better, a lot easier.
Where's the role where I beef up? You know it's not coming off, right? Like, those are actors who have the discipline to
yeah
that's probably true. lose weight from the role that I played. Daniel Day-Lewis, no problem. What do you need me to get to?
Yeah.
214 pounds. You know, I'm usually about 162.
That's all.
Right. I'll gain 55 pounds.
Speaking of working out, apparently there's some controversy with the late night talk show host and our own Brian Cushing here. Have you seen this?
No.
Scott Farrell, who's on late night. He's a nationally.
Scott Farrell. Scott Farrell on the bench.
It sounds like he gargles glass.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's been around a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he said that Brian Cushing hates Bill O'Brien. More or less, he just hates Bill O'Brien. And, you know, just they don't get along at all. And Brian Cushing shot back. That's total bull crap. That is not zero truth to that. Always liked and respected OB. Always will. If you guys have questions, just call me. Thanks. Because this is now a big drama soap opera on Sports Radio 610. And, you know,
why is it a drama? He's just a guy who's going to get cut. Who cares?
That's what I'm
saying.
Brian Cushing is I don't want to say he's not insignificant.
He's about to be.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you a question. There's no chance that Brian Cushing is a Ring of Honor guy.
Do we have one?
Yeah. Andre Johnson's in it now.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
There is no chance.
Okay. Well,
not two-time ped guy. No chance.
If you say so.
No, there's an absolute.
I mean, you would think there wouldn't be. Two-time ped suspension, multiple injuries that short-circuited seasons of his career.
He's missed as much time as he's played.
I mean, wouldn't have thought he would have come back and been a captain either.
I wouldn't have thought that either.
It would be an indictment of the lack of star power over the first 15 years. It would be, frankly, a big hit to Charlie and Rick Smith's tenure to see how few stars there have actually been in Houston. You know, to be in the Ring of Honor over that time, despite having high draft picks.
Well,
is Mario Williams getting in?
No. Okay. No chance. He left after 6 years.
Okay.
No.
Is David Carr in? Both first picks.
No.
Both first picks.
No. There's only one guy. There's another guy that is already in is JJ, but that's it. And Bob McNair.
And if the warden hadn't been the warden, Dwayne Brown would be in.
And
yes, Dwayne Brown should
be
in.
No, if Dwayne Brown wouldn't have been.
If the warden hadn't been his warden-y self.
No.
Warden-y self.
No. Dwayne Brown would be in.
No.
Warden-y self.
That is squarely on Dwayne Brown, not the warden.
But the warden. For football purposes, now, if you go after. He went after an owner.
I mean, he went after the warden.
If you went after Jerry Jones, you're not getting any kind of cowboy ring.
Dwayne
Brown's easily the second. I think he's the second best player who's played in Houston.
Yeah, his longevity.
We're talking
and
about
play.
A Pro Bowl, multi-time Pro Bowler, an All-Pro, a guy who was,
second,
frankly, I thought.
I would put JJ there.
Shorter tenure, but yeah, JJ came in 2011. He came 2008. Yeah, that's fair to say. Yeah. That's fair.
Three-time
JJ, and then, but all of them should be like Dwayne Brown's is Ring of Honor worthy.
Yes, it is, but he won't get there.
If we're saying not when you way better than Brian,
not
Cushing,
when you accuse the owner of racism, there's no chance.
It's going to make it harder.
No, well,
yeah, it's a problem. No.
As long as the name McNair owns, you know, as Cal or Dwayne Brown, really, really hurt the feelings of that family.
I have this image of like the final scene of Cool Hand Luke, like Dwayne Brown would be, you know, out someplace and he would say he would mock Bob McNair in some way. And Bob McNair's right-hand man would be like, let's take him out. Because that's what the warden did in Cool Hand Luke.
No.
I just have this image.
Bob McNair doesn't take people out. He's too classy.
He gets them traded. He trades them.
Yeah, he traded them.
He wanted to be traded.
Yes.
Dwayne was demanding to be traded.
No, well,
he finally
him.
Gave in.
There was no chance that he could possibly be on the field again for this team.
We don't call that a trade. He just got... He got released.
He was released.
He was not furloughed.
Yes, he was. He was transferred to another prison.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about. He was transferred to a minimum security prison.
That
Club Fed
is
where he
security
went.
In Seattle.
He went to
the inmates in the asylum or, you know, as
the warden was
screwed up and said, inmates in prison, like, it's asylum. This is not going to be good.
Right.
As soon as he's like, and the inmates are running to prison, like, that's not what it's, you're supposed to say asylum.
You screw up a metaphor. That's all he did. He should be.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. I was thinking about this in this day and age where it used to just be colloquialism, you know, it's just a saying or whatever. You're basically saying you can't let the workers run the business. Right. That's all it is.
That's all
there's
it
nothing
is.
There's nothing if hateful or mean-spirited about that. But if you said the inmates, sometimes you think about this, you can't let the inmates run the asylum. What is an asylum? Oh, it's where crazy people are.
That's where all the crazy people
are. Yeah, but that's what are you saying about the NFL?
That's way better than the prison.
Way better than saying prison.
Oh, yeah. God. Hey, he didn't call me crazy. He called me a criminal.
That's all.
Yeah, like.
All right. 713-780-3776. You want to get in here? We got to talk about Renter's Warehouse right now. And our man, Rich Drake, who's on his way to work right now, as a matter of fact, to get people's houses rented out. And here's the thing about it is another thing that you can think about. If you want to sell your home, you know, it's going to take you a little while. I'm sorry, but it's going to take you some time. How about an average of 17 days to rent out your house?
That's it?
That's it.
There's somebody down the street from me whose house has been on the market it went on the market right before summer. So it would have been maybe early June. And I was just thinking about this because the houses in the neighborhood used to sell pretty quickly. And I'm just thinking, man, this guy's just getting
that's a bad
crushed.
Thing too, because now the price is going to continue to go down because when
reduced.
When you put your house on the market and it lasts that long,
it has a stink on it.
Oh my God.
You have
What's
to pull
wrong
it off and try
house?
To relist.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, this guy should have, in all honesty, this guy, because he's been living somewhere else. You should be renting this house.
Mm-hmm.
Rent the house for a year and then try to sell it if you want. Rent it for 2 years or maybe just build wealth with having a property that you have managed by Renter's Warehouse.
How about, just let them pay off your mortgage. Let the people pay off your mortgage and then you own the home when everybody leaves. How about that? It's awesomeness. And they do all the work at Renter's Warehouse. If you're looking for a great way to not sell your home and keep your home, let somebody else pay for it. Renterswarehouse.com, 713-224-RENT.
ESPN 97.5.
Thirsty, trying to choose. I mean, I know I'm critical. My neti bag, my kitty boots. I got the juice.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 750 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. One thing that we didn't mention about this yesterday that is a really big deal, a really good point by Tony Dungy, this Josh McDaniels thing, he brought up the point, and now Tony Dungy is all Colts all the time. He's, you know, anti-New England. I get that. He got his ass handed to him by New England.
Anti-New England. Is he?
Well, yeah.
How about when he and Rodney Harrison are on the set sometimes? I actually like that combination.
Yeah.
Rodney's a little bit of a wild card.
Yeah, Tony. Yeah. But, you know, Tony Dungy, he certainly has a perspective. But this perspective is dead on. I can tell you there's no excuse big enough to justify this, talking about Josh McDaniels not going. It's one thing to go back on your word to an organization, but having assistant coaches leave jobs to go with you, then leave them out to dry is indefensible. You make those decisions before you say, I do. Don't get married, start a family, then say, I changed my mind. He didn't sign the contract, but he said, I do. That is common decency and integrity. You don't do that to the families of your peers. That's dead on.
I couldn't believe it's such an unbelievable screw job. My dad was never head coach, always assistant coach. And so when all that stuff happened, I thought, holy crap. And we talked about yesterday what's going to happen. And I know it came up like, well, you could just, you know, pay those guys off part ways and get your own staff. But I knew Ballard wouldn't do that. And he said it in a press conference. He goes, we're not going to leave these guys out, hang these guys out to dry. He said, they have contracts. They have a job. He goes, they're good coaches. We want them. And Ballard oversees a process, and he knows those coaches. And he didn't know one of them. He said, one of them I'm getting to know. He said, love my defense coordinator. He goes, God, we're really lucky to have him. He said, defense line coach, known him for a long time. I don't know how many coaches they've actually hired, though. I know they had three that he mentioned for sure in his press conference. But that's the thing. Yeah, they're guaranteed contracts, and that's fine. And I know you think, well, I could take that and live on that, like, two-year vacation. That's not coaches or
no.
They need jobs and need to stay inside. If you get outside the machine for a couple of years, you're dead. There's a good chance that it will be a very hard time. My dad's O-line coach, a guy named Goody, Harold Goodwin, over in Arizona. When BA shut it down, my dad said, when Bruce Arians is done, I'm done. I want to shut it down. It's okay for me to retire now. I'm 73. So Bruce Arians retired. My dad said, I'm done. And Harold Goodwin, who is in his like 40s, he's okay. And he is his name. He's actually interviewed for head coaching jobs at different times. Goody can't find a job now. No jobs for Goody. So he's going to sit out this year. He doesn't have an O-line job.
That's hard.
It dries up.
This time of the season is so hard on coach, man. I know a lot of college coaches. And it is right after the season ends, it is a free-for-all. Who was it? I know Mike Vrabel, behind the scenes, I know somebody he's dealing with. He said, I have well over 1,000 texts of guys who want to come work for me.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable how difficult this time of the year is for head and assistant coaches with the job. And how many jobs open up every year?
I'm going to tell you just real quick. And one of the reasons that I told you, I really respect Chris Ballard a lot. And I wish he was here as a Texans general manager for personal reasons. But I have a lot of respect for Brian Gain, too. I don't know Brian Gain like I know Chris. I know Chris well. He's godfather of one of my kids. And complete, transparency. But went to school here at Texas City.
It's
was
like
a wide
Rick
receiver.
And Cal.
You know, Chris had a guy who went to college, wide receiver, tore up his knee, tore up his other knee, got in some trouble off the field, was kind of rowdy. Barry Alvarez, they were going to take a scholarship away because his knees were all busted up and he was done. And they were going to take a scholarship, like, well, you can't even play. We're going to take. And Barry Alvarez said, no, let's keep him on scholarship. I want to use him as a student assistant. And Chris said that changed his whole life. He matured. He grew up. He looked at things differently. He got into the evaluation side. Barry Alvarez saved him, maybe his whole life, and changed the course of his career forever. He's forever indebted to Barry Alvarez. And that's why Chris is willing to take some chances on some guys who haven't always been on the straight and narrow, because he knows that maturity, he wants to decide between turds and mature people. And I've learned a lot of the philosophy of evaluation and team building through Chris's eyes and others, but he's one of them. Mm-hmm. So I understand you got to determine whether a guy's immature. You were immature at times. I was immature.
No, I was never.
Del still has character concerns.
Yeah. Debra Heel?
Yeah, big time. God.
Wait
big
a minute.
Time.
Why am I a character concern?
Because you're a cancer in the locker room. Everyone
I'm
knows
the
that.
Cancer?
Yeah. No.
No.
Okay. Have I ever been fired? have I ever been fired for my attitude?
I don't know. Have you?
Have I? No.
I don't think I was fired for my attitude.
Hang on, John.
Did another?
We know it was your attitude.
Hang on, John. Did a team member once say he wanted to stomp your face off because you were smoking in a bathroom?
Yes.
Red flag, character red flag.
Thank
Del.
You.
No, for that you. Guy.
That's for him.
The aggression.
I thought it was you for illegally smoking in the bathroom.
No.
I was wrong. I thought that John was a character red flag. I didn't know it was Rowdy.
Well, John's okay. Rowdy. It's always someone else's fault. So he would be terrible.
Oh, yeah. No. That's always
John's
else's
a LeBron.
Fault.
So except without the talent.
I'll try to speed it up here. So Ballard, He's always talking to coaches. He's always known. I remember asking him one time, who's the next high coach? Raheem Morse. Raheem Morse was hired the next year to be head coach. Now, he was fired after a year in Tampa Bay. Justin Fuente went up. And so he always knows. So he's going to have a network. I saw him at Senior Bowl briefly. I don't get to talk to him as much now. He's a GM. And he's talking to small coaches from small. Hey, are you Chris Ballard? Yeah, come on over here. He treats everybody. Like, there's one guy who is almost like a stalker at the Senior Bowl. Every year I see him. He's just some guy from a high school who's kind of a weird dude. And I never seen anyone talking to him. He always goes and talks to everybody. Chris goes, hey, how you doing? And they were talking. Chris goes, oh, he's a good guy, hustles. And, you know, and he showed a lot of respect for a guy that everyone else, like, what is this guy bothering everyone for? And Chris showed a lot of respect for him. He goes, yeah, he handles some recruiting stuff now for Southern Miss. He goes, he hustles, man. He's a hustler. That's what you got to do in this business. And he wants to know as many people as he can. So he's going to have head coaching candidates. We talked about mm-hmm. it. There's going to be some guys out there.
Oh, yeah.
But he said, we're not going to leave these coaches. We're not going to hang them out to dry at all. He said, we like these coaches.
I got a story like this about what happened with Josh McDaniels here when we come back right here on ESPN.
By the way, Josh McDaniels' agent fired him yesterday because he said, your word is your bond, and you screwed me. And by the way, he's agent for both him and Ballard. Awkward.
Oh, yeah, that's
awkward.
Boy, put talk about putting the agent in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Josh McDaniels. He put everybody in a bad spot. That's that's a character flaw,
it's
Josh.
It's a big, he's
Josh
he's
McDaniels,
a
that's a character flaw. All right, you know what I might do today?
You might go 1-3. I like to call it the old 1-3. That'd be the 1-3.
I couldn't get there yesterday.
No limit. Really? Yesterday was a good poker day.
I know. It's a great poker day.
You know, I want to vomit every day that I look at my draft board. I'm like, God, I got six guys. There's no way I'm going to get out of here to play poker. Every day I keep thinking, can I sneak away and go play some 1-3? I can't go play a tournament because I'm obviously going to go deep, deep into the tournament and be there for 5-6 hours, obviously. And see, your mic's off. No one can tell you. Well, the other day I was there for 3 hours, finished 21st out of 27. But, you know, I was just on the verge. I was on the verge of
six guys ahead.
I was on the verge of some major, major stuff. That's all I can tell you. I do want to say there is a huge tournament coming up this Saturday. $60,000 guaranteed in that tournament. $30,000 to first place with the final table payout only. So you got a chance to get paid if you're on the final table. $300 entry, and you got rebuys and all kinds of stuff. So if you want more information, go to primesocialtx.com and you can find out. This Saturday tournament was a monster. Last Saturday, it's going to be even bigger this Saturday with $30,000 for first and $60,000 payout there for the final table at Prime Social. But if you just want to get into a cash game, you say, hey, me and my buddies want to go out and play some poker. We're used to doing it in our neighborhood game. How about we go over there? Great. Bring it on. They've got a great menu of food, and they've got a fantastic bar, so you can go have your drinks, your mixed drinks, have some fun with you and the fellas. Get in there, enjoy yourself, play in some cash games, and when you're done, you're done. Get a little buy-in going and then get out. Maybe you're going to be the big winner there. Maybe you want to play in one of the tournaments that they have on a daily basis that starts at noon and then again on 6. The Saturday tournament, I think they're just going one tournament because this is going to be a big boy. So if you want a chance at your $30,000, I highly recommend going to Prime Social and playing poker at 7801 Westheimer between Dunvale and Voss. It's just a short drive away for me and maybe a short drive away from you, but certainly worth it for a chance at $30,000 and a $60,000 prize pool. For more information about their Bad Beat jackpots, their cash games, their location, or anything else, go to PrimeSocialTX.com.